Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I got to run to keep from having, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no.
The kind of night the Midnight Rider was made for. Yes, yes, sir. 12:03. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. I got you for 5 hours. We take you to the warm-up show at 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. Get aboard. We're going to take calls early and often. Tonight is a night to celebrate. That's right, celebrate. The Knicks get a victory, but more than that, and we'll get to the Knicks, and it's a big win. It's a big win in Detroit for Game 3, and we saw a lot of what we needed to see early on, and then we saw what we needed to see late as well as they hold off a two-point victory, 118-116. But the story of tonight is the New York Giants completed the dream. The dream scenario. This was the perfect first round for the New York Giants after obviously not getting the first pick. I know I'm hung up on that. We're not going to focus on it now. I still wish they had the number one pick and were sitting with Cam Ward, but they're not. And heading into this, I needed the quarterback. This franchise needed the quarterback. Bottom line, I said it yesterday, if they do not come away with their quarterback in the first two rounds, this draft is pointless. I don't care how good Abdul Carter is. I don't care how good Travis Hunter is, if that would have been the pick. They needed a quarterback. And I was screaming. I think Keith just referenced it. I was pounding the table. I wanted the quarterback pick third. Now, I like Shedeur Sanders, who's not even picked in the first round, which I have to admit is shocking to me. But the New York Giants were able, in this first round, in this draft, a draft that is going to dictate the future of this organization, both with its players, the future of the GM, and the head coach. So much is relying on this draft, this season, on what kind of team this is going to be, whether or not this regime stays. So much is predicated on what they do here for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And for me, again, we always speak like this, and we know that we can't necessarily judge this draft or what just happened for years. We don't know today, right now. We have no idea. But the dream scenario was to stick to your guns, right? As much as I wanted the quarterback at three, you had to come up with the quarterback. That's how I felt. But the dream scenario was to stay to your guns at three, pick the best player you deemed available, and Abdul Carter is either the first or second best player in this draft on almost every draft board. And then find a way to trade back into the first round, get your quarterback in the first round, which gives you the fifth-year option, and have Brian Daboll finally get his guy. And that's what I love about the trading up more than even, like, honestly, I know this is crazy to say. I would rather that they moved up and traded 2 third-round picks, which they traded with the Texans, 2 third-round picks. This year, obviously, the swap of picks. I hate when they include that. Oh, you know, they traded a second-round pick. No, they didn't. They swap picks. They got a first-round pick. So they swap picks, and they give up the 99th pick, which is their second third-round pick this year, and a third-round pick next year, to move up into the first round and get Jackson Dart. I'm glad they did that. Now, who knows? All those teams didn't need quarterbacks. You never know who's going to jump in and take the guy you wanted. I love that they moved up and got him and gave up 2 third-round picks as opposed to just sitting, hoping, waiting, wishing at the 34 and taking him in the second round. One, because you get the fifth-year option, and two, because it proves to me whatever I think about Shedeur Sanders, God knows whatever Mel Kiper and the rest of the ESPN broadcast think of Shedeur Sanders. Brian Daboll is the man who made this decision. Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, saw similarities that you saw or that he saw in the draft process all those years ago when they drafted Josh Allen. Right? The difference, he's got the tools. He's got the ability that Shedeur Sanders doesn't have. Even I would agree with it. He's more mobile. Right? His arm strength is probably better. He attacks down the field more. There's a lot of the uncoachable stuff that Jackson Dart has over Shedeur Sanders, who I believe is more polished, who I believe is probably more accurate, who I believe is better at reading the field. Jackson Dart is almost exclusively a play-action pass quarterback. They made things easy for him. He didn't have to read the field. This is the difference between the two quarterbacks, and I like Shedeur Sanders, but Brian Daboll sees the ability in Jackson Dart and to get the one of the two best players in the draft and then get into the back end of the first round and take the guy that this coach believes in. All the years of forcing other quarterbacks on him, finally, Brian Daboll gets his guy. And now you're going to have a year to sit with him, right? Assuming that the plan is to start Russell Wilson and let Jameis Winston play as well. This young kid, who I think is going to have a lot of need in the coaching department, he is going to have to be coached up. That's the quarterback they took. They took the quarterback with the talent but needs the coaching. And Brian Daboll has his quarterback. He has a year to work with him while they go about trying to win with now Abdul Carter, an improved defense, an elite pass rushing unit. They've improved the defensive backfield in the offseason. They've added the number one wide receiver last year in the draft, and we saw his progression. We know what Tracy the running back is. The offensive line, as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, has been much better. They've just added a premier edge rusher defensively. And now with Russell Wilson, they go about trying to win as many games as they can this year, appease the owner, appease the fans, and they get to develop the young quarterback and start that whenever they deem it necessary with Jackson Dart. This is the best possible scenario for the New York Giants. This was a dream first round. They get the best player in the draft, and then they get their quarterback of the future. It's proof that they believe in this guy. All the noise about the quarterbacks, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, I could tell you I think this one's better. I think that one's better. We could have guests on and tell you, well, listen, I think he's the fourth best quarterback in the draft. It doesn't matter. This is proof that Brian Daboll was making the decisions, that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were not hampered by the owner, were not told, oh, you can't do this, we're fearful of where this goes, you can't draft a quarterback because I don't know where the future lies with you. They were given the keys to this team. They didn't do what I thought they should have done, panicked and take the quarterback third. They took the best player and then for 2 third-round picks got back into the first round and took the future of this franchise. This was a tremendous night for the New York Giants. This is the best case scenario. I have not been this excited as a Giants fan in a long time. It has been a long time since I have been this excited of the future of the New York Giants. Because I do believe that Brian Daboll can coach up a quarterback. I do believe it. I believe they've already made improvements on the defense. They've got young, more talented players in the offensive unit. They've just added an edge rusher who everyone tells me is going to be Micah Parsons or LT and somewhere in between. When you add in Burns and Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence along with Carter, you're talking about an elite pass rush. One of the best in the NFL. This was Joe Shane under pressure, staying cool with the third pick, and then being decisive and aggressive in the back end of the first round and getting the quarterback that his coach, who helped develop Josh Allen, I heard you, Keith, I heard you say that with your sarcastic tones. I don't know why, and you're not alone, Keith. I'm just, like, so many people are like, oh, yeah, I know he developed Josh Allen. He did develop Josh Allen. He did. That's how he got the job. I'm not saying he turned Josh Allen from a scrub to a superstar. We know it takes talent, and that's what Jackson Dart has. I don't think anyone disputes his ability. I've been watching the Gruden thing with him. He's tough as nails. He stands in the pocket and deals with pressure as good as anyone and throws the ball down the field with pressure in his face. He takes hits. He's got to be coached into being more, or should I say less aggressive with his running style. He needs to stop taking on the contact he takes on, learn how to run out of bounds, learn how to slide. There's going to be a lot of progression stuff that he's going to have to learn in the NFL. He's almost exclusively play action pass and, you know, one read stuff and eliminating half the field. He's been successful at it, but this is the NFL, and it's going to be different for him. But he's got one of the better quarterback coaches in the NFL with Brian Daboll, and right now this was the dream scenario for me. This was the best-case scenario. The Giants just had, in my estimation, the best first round of the draft. They are the story of the draft. Now, again, we have to see, forget the quarterback, you have to see if Abdul Carter is as good as we all think. But it's going to be years before we know, as in all drafts. But man, oh man, if this wasn't the best case scenario, if this wasn't exactly what Giant fans are looking for, they've got the elite player and they got the future quarterback. Now, Shedeur Sanders is clearly the story of the draft outside of the New York Giants. The idea he has fallen so far, and we saw the Saints pass on him, we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers pass on him, and he is not selected day one. I mean, I don't know what it says necessarily. Other than, I guess he rubbed, you know, all that stuff was true, that he rubbed certain coaches the wrong way. He had a terrible combine, all the meetings. I still don't think the Giants would have been, you know, foolish. I understand now you look at it and all these teams passed on him. We'll see. If he ends up being a good quarterback, they're all going to look like idiots. Much like we're getting on the Giants for not going after Michael Penix, or we're going after the Giants for not going in and taking on other quarterbacks throughout the last couple of years. Taking Bo Nix last year, taking Michael Penix last year. The entire NFL might be looking foolish if Shedeur Sanders is as good as he thinks he is, and as good as I think he is. So yes, I was banging the drum for Shedeur Sanders, but if you were listening to me, all I wanted, what I needed to have happen coming out of this draft, was that Brian Daboll got his guy. That's what I needed. They needed it to be in the first two rounds, and I had to have proof that it was Dable's guy. Now, to be fair, clearly they felt that Cam Ward was the best quarterback in this draft because they were willing to move a one. I know Eddie and Rockland was calling me a bunch, and the idea that they only offered a third-round pick. Well, we found out today, to move up, they offered a next year's first as well as multiple other picks, including a third-round pick. So they were still willing to move up to take Cam Ward. But Jackson Dart clearly is someone that Brian Daboll sees as a talented quarterback that he can mold. And I definitely don't, I don't think he starts day one. I don't think there's any question. I think they signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston for a reason. And I think those two guys are going to start. I think this is a project. I think this is further proof that unless disaster strikes this season and the team falls apart, I think this regime is staying. I don't know if this saves their job necessarily. It speaks to the idea that their job is safer than we think it is. And I think John Mara gets a lot of flack for being too involved, or like I've even questioned the way, obviously all of his decision-making has been terrible over the last handful of years. But even though I didn't love the way he handled the media session after bringing these two guys back. He did not stand in their way. He did not tell them, you have to take a quarterback at three. He did not tell them, you can't take a quarterback in this draft. He allowed them to do what they wanted to do. And Joe Shane has had his moments as the GM. This is a guy who last year with Hard Knocks was embarrassed, right? His son, again, his son's involved with the Jackson Dart. Well, I guess it, you know, turned out to be true. If you hadn't heard, Joe Shane's son put out a Instagram reel of all of Jackson Dart's highlights. Now, there was no way to know that Jackson Dart would fall that far. They didn't take him third overall, but clearly that was their quarterback. And Joe Shane, who's been under so much flack over the last couple years, and rightfully so, and half or more than half the fan base wanted him gone at the end of last season. What he just did in the first round, to me, was a cool, calculated, not worried about his job, making the pick for the best player, and then still making the move to go get the quarterback of the future. To me, this was a perfectly handled first round. It was a home run first round. It got them the best player and the future quarterback, and it instills belief in this organization. The belief that John Mara did not give me when he spoke to the media after bringing them back, the draft has now instilled that confidence in me because this was Brian Daboll's pick. Brian Daboll was allowed to trade future draft assets, move back into the first round, and take a quarterback that I don't know the perception necessarily, but he was not a slam dunk second quarterback in this draft. That was Shedeur Sanders. So to have Brian Daboll have the news leak over the last couple of days that this was Brian Dable's guy, and to have Joe Shane not panic, take the defensive player in Carter at three, had the board play out to his liking, and then got aggressive in the end and went back into the first round, and Brian Daboll was allowed to pick his quarterback, it tells me that this regime, this general manager, and this head coach are still entrenched in this organization. Their footing is a lot more stable than people want to admit. I think he's going to get the opportunity to develop Jackson Dart. I don't think there's going to be any pressure to play him year one. I think he's going to be able to sit back, learn this offense, work every day with Brian Daboll, have Russell Wilson start for a year, and then at any point this season is dead, or next year Jackson Dart takes over as the future quarterback of the New York Giants. And that's why trading into the first round for two different reasons. One, it shows without question they wanted Jackson Dart. If it falls to them at two, then it's okay, they liked him better than Shedeur Sanders, but did they really love him, or did they feel the value was too great to not take? They moved up, traded future assets to make sure they got their guy. They got him in the first round, so they have the fifth-year option on a quarterback they're probably not going to play year one. It was a slam dunk. This is as exciting as I've ever been. I shouldn't say ever because they've won Super Bowls, but as exciting as this is as excited as I've been about the Giants in a decade. This was a great day. A great day. Then you mix in the Knicks and their Game 3 victory in this series against Detroit and the atmosphere in that building, and we'll get to it, and all the things that started out right away. Oh, we weren't rebounding well enough? Well, that felt different from the jump. Oh, we weren't getting people involved? OG Anunoby wasn't involved. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns wasn't involved. That changed right away. It was a hard-fought battle. These Pistons do not stop. But the Knicks come away with a much-needed Game 3 victory. We'll get into all the different things, including the time clock management at the end of the game and the mistake that actually hurt the Knicks that makes absolutely no sense. We'll get to all the different things, the big buckets, the big win. But we will start with the New York Giants and their draft. Obviously, the Jets get their offensive lineman, and now they are, you know, I had a feeling they were going to take him. I had a feeling they were going to take Membo because, like, if you look at what AG is trying to do, right, and how he speaks, and talking about culture building, like, I know they passed on the tight end, and he fell back and wasn't even the top tight end taken in this draft, which was shocking. But you want to start at the line of scrimmage, right? And there was a lot of talk about a Breece Hall trade that hasn't happened as of yet. Doesn't mean it won't happen at all, but like they've got the running quarterback. They've talked about a dual running back system. I don't know if they're going to trade Breece Hall or not, but this is going to be a running team. They are going to try and be, with AG, a smash-mouth football team. And you want to be good at the line of scrimmage. And there's talent on the defensive front. The offensive line was much better last year. And now that you look at this and you've added your right tackle to go along with Fashanu as your left tackle, you've got Tippmann, you got Vera Tucker. You have the real makings of a very good, talented offensive line. But today, the story is the New York Giants, who get their edge rusher and they get their quarterback and have an unbelievable first round. Let's get right to the calls before I break. Let's go to Ronnie Kelly in Bayonne. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, Chris. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. I wanted to talk about India's cricket team. I'm only kidding around.
Yeah, I thought so.
No, but yeah, like you said, man, I totally agree with you about the Giants. Like, dude, they had to make a move. I mean, I like that kid Dart, man. Like, he hangs in the pocket. He makes some tough throws. I mean, you watch his highlights. So a lot of these guys are wide open, too. I mean, but still, nonetheless, like you said, he's something to work with Dable. The Giants had to do something. And Abdul Carter, I mean, like.
No,
I mean, I know guys are getting carried away compared to the LT.
Oh, of course.
Like, relax,
I mean, that's why, I mean, look, I and the Giants were still willing to move a first-round pick to pass on him and take Cam Ward. So I understand. And this is, look, I could preparing for the draft, have I watched some Jackson Dart stuff? Yes. Have I watched a bunch of people talk about Jackson Dart? Yes. Did I watch, McShay talk about him? Did I watch the Gruden camp thing? Yes. This isn't about, right, because none of us know. You can call me, and I welcome your call. I'm not dismissing your calls at 888-808-1019, but let's be honest. You don't know. We don't know. Brian Dable doesn't know. Everyone who passed on Shedeur Sanders, everyone who passed on Bo Nix, everyone who passed on Michael Penix, everyone who passed on, hell, Aaron Rodgers. Nobody knows. So to me, I can't sit here. We could have the debate if you'd like. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, my God, for Jackson Dart, I don't know. Is there, like, we can have that discussion, and we will when it plays out. To me, this is more about the Giants doing what they needed to do and getting the most talented player they could. Whatever you think of Abdul Carter, whether he's Micah Parsons, whether he's Lawrence Taylor, whether he's nowhere near either of them, he was the best player available in that moment, and he was top two. He was one of the top two players in this entire draft. And they didn't deem either of these quarterbacks worthy of that pick, and they wanted Carter. They wanted that best player available in that slot. I'm glad they didn't trade back, as the Cleveland Browns did. I understand they need a whole bunch of pieces, and they have a bunch of cap issues with the quarterback situation and that contract. And they need as many picks as possible. I'm glad the Giants took the best player available and didn't move back for more picks. They took the best player available, and then they came up and they got the guy Brian Dable loves. We're going to find out if they're right or wrong. Like, to me, right now, it is not about necessarily. I mean, I guess we could have the conversation about Jackson Dart versus Shedeur Sanders and where Shedeur Sanders has fallen. And, I mean, this was the odds on. And it was like ESPN kept saying it. There was like a 3% chance he didn't get drafted in the first round. And just a couple weeks ago, it was like an 85% chance he was in the top 10. So I guess we can have that debate, Shedeur or Jackson Dart. But for me, it's not even about that, because we're going to find out. That's going to get answered for us. We can have the debate, but none of us know. And I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I know. I don't. I prefer Shedeur Sanders. But this isn't about what I like. And quite honestly, with all due respect to you, it's not even about what you like. This is the idea that the Giants took the best player available, and then they went back into the draft to draft their future quarterback that they believe is the next quarterback of this franchise, that they believe is the guy to lead them out of the doldrum that they have been in for the last 10 years, that they believe is the guy they can coach up and has the tool set and skills that, along with Brian Dable's tutelage, can become a great player in this league. It's what they believe. And they weren't afraid to do it, and they didn't have their hands tied behind their back by an owner who didn't want to risk it, or think, hey, you can't be drafting a quarterback because, know about your job security. This was the Giants and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane playing this the right way, not panicking nor overplaying their hand, but yet also not being afraid to take the swing and build the future through the position that we all know is the future of football and the future of any organization that plays football. This was the dream scenario, and the only reason I suggested drafting the quarterback at third is because it's hard to deal in dream scenarios. If Jackson Dart was picked ninth by the Saints, this doesn't happen. Like, that's what scared me. What scared me is Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders or whatever quarterback Brian Daboll loved would be picked ninth by the Saints. And as much as we could say, hey, Carter's going to be great, and this is going to be great, and he's an unbelievable talent, if they didn't come away with their future quarterback, to me, it's a waste. But this was the dream scenario of getting both. The best player available, and then getting the guy Brian Daboll believes in. Limo driver Ed, what's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on, brother? I tell you one thing, Daboll, man. He's a smart man. What did he just do recently, about a couple of days last week? He brought him in. They went to go see them boys play. Mm-hmm. And I tell you one thing, this kid is ready for the NFL in the future. I like what they did. They did definitely did get the okay from the ownership. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to let you guys do this year. Next year, now you got him. Okay, if you don't do nothing within 2 years, yeah. And with Shedeur, the league, the NFL showed their daddy, his daddy, he don't run the NFL. And you know what? All 32 teams passed up on him. Mm-hmm. Who knows where they may not want. And he's up there flashing his rings and his watches and stuff. You know what? Teams ain't got time, and they ain't got time for his daddy.
Yeah,
so I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, I don't know how much that played into it. I really don't.
I just don't. Bro, I was listening to everybody around, man. Even the, what's it called? Listen, that's what they've been talking about, too. They don't want to deal with his father. They said, hey. It's not my son. They said it's the daddy.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. What kind of headache is like, what is this perceived headache that Deion Sanders is going to provide? Like, what is he going to do? He's coaching Colorado. You think he's going to give up coaching and just be a pain in the ass of whatever NFL team that coach that drafted his son, that he's going to retire and be a full-time nag? Like, what's going to happen? This was based on maybe Shador's attitude, which has part to play with being Sanders' son, because whoever your father is has part to be with what kind of person you are, I would suppose. So, like, all of that plays into it. I think he rubbed some people the wrong way. I don't even think that's the main issue. I think the main issue is he doesn't have the absolute skill set that you can't coach. The talent, the arm talent, the physicality, the agility, the athleticism, it doesn't jump off the screen. So in those cases, you better be pitch perfect and unbelievable at everything if you want to get drafted at the top of the draft without those kind of tools. And Shedeur Sanders wasn't that. And I think the Giants, because I'll tell you, I think even Brian Daboll would tell you that day one, I mean, maybe not. I would think most NFL execs would tell you day one, week one of the NFL season next year, Shedeur Sanders gives you a better chance of playing competent football than Jackson Dart does. Like, I think that's fair. I think anyone would tell you that. But Brian Daboll went for the talent that he believes he can mold into a supreme talent at the quarterback position, where Shedeur Sanders is limited to what you can turn him into. I don't think it's about his father. I think it's a little bit about some of his meetings. I think ultimately it's about the talent, and they didn't deem him talented enough.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm happy. The Giants with a lightning strike of a first round Because I think, listen, and I'll be honest with you, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who listen to me, whatever, and they're like, oh, now you love Jackson Dart. It's not about loving Jackson Dart. And maybe if you just, you know, check in every once in a while or read the clips that are put out by WFAN, maybe you think I've been Shedeur Sanders or bust. I haven't been. If you've been listening to me, and I understand I'm on in the middle of the morning, but if you get a chance to actually listen to me regularly, my pick would have been Shedeur Sanders. I am slightly concerned in the back of my head that the Giants just picked the wrong quarterback. I am. I have a little bit of that. How could you not? I think Shedeur Sanders is more polished. I would have picked Shedeur. And then if you're going to go, let's be totally honest, if you're going to go just on the tools, right, which what I've been saying, and I think it's absolutely part of the reason that Brian Daboll, you know, fell in love with him and wants him. If you're going to go just on tools alone and mobility and arm strength and all this stuff, Milrow is probably even more tooly than Dart. So, like, I don't think he's the most polished. I have a real question about how he reads defenses. And I don't even think he's the most, like, it's not like Josh Allen. You know, Lamar Jackson was a different tool set. But Josh Allen was a project, but the tools were through the roof. Like, Jackson Dart has really nice, has some nice tools, but, like, if you're just going to go on tools, it's probably Milrow. So there must be something else, toughness, all this stuff, you know, the ability to throw with the rush in his face, whatever the question, whatever the issue is, Brian Daboll chose him. But that's what I like about this. That's why I'm in favor of it, and that's what I've been calling for this whole time. I wanted the Giants to get their quarterback. I just was afraid they wouldn't be able to unless they drafted him third. That's why I was proposing it. That's why I wanted it, because ultimately, as much as I agree that Carter has an opportunity to be a great pass rusher in this league and be an impactful player for the Giants, I deem the quarterback position the most important, and I wouldn't have been satisfied coming out of this draft without one. But having said that, to get both, I mean, how could I? Who doesn't want both? Everybody wants both. No one's turning down both. I wanted both. I just was afraid of missing out on the main course. But they got their quarterback. And I do think that, I'm telling you right now, me and Fleeks are just talking about, I think this cements Shane and Daboll coming back, no matter what happens next year. And I've been saying that as well. Because no matter how, John Mara, when he spoke to the media, wanted you to know how mad he was. He had to convey to you, the fan, that he wasn't just, hey, look, it's going to be fine, everything's okay, you know, we played okay this year. He wanted you to know how furious he was that they were losing. But ultimately, you don't bring these guys back, let them draft a young quarterback in the first round, and then say, well, you didn't win enough, you only won four games this year or five games this year, I'm moving on. It's not going to happen. It would be incompetence. This is the same owner who told you when they hired Shane and Daboll that the last regime ruined, that they did everything they could to ruin Daniel Jones by changing coaches on him. Why would they try and ruin Jackson Dart by doing the same? For you Shane and Daboll haters, lock in, because they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. And hopefully, like, this team starts to progress. The defense gets a lot better. We see the offensive line gel. Andrew Thomas stays healthy. Malik Nabers really progresses with a veteran quarterback. Jackson Dart has a full year to learn, and the Giants hit the ground running next year, late next year or into the year after. That's the plan. And today was as good a step as possible in that direction, as long as Jackson Dart's a good quarterback, which is ultimately always the question. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Leonard in Rockland County. What's up, Leonard?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac. Love the show.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout-out to my boy, Moshe Kreisman from Brooklyn, who was bringing up a great point that I've been listening to the show since you came on, and you kept on saying in the beginning how, like, you were very happy that Daboll didn't, like, wait and sit around until Jackson Dart felt him in the second round.
Yes.
And went out and traded some picks and went into the first round and got him.
Yep.
I think you're trying to cover up the fact that, like, you know, that's in a sort of way Dable's like trying to like give off that he loves him. But like, if you really love your quarterback, and if quarterback is the most important position in sports, in football, then you're really supposed to be taking them at a three, don't you think?
That's what I was saying. I it's hard for me to totally disagree with that sentiment because I've kind of had it, yes. If he loved Jackson Dart and felt like he wouldn't be able to sleep at night if they didn't draft him, then I would have suggested taking him third. But again, and let's be fair too. He clearly wasn't the. It wasn't like this is the number one quarterback on their draft board. They can't argue that they offered a number one. At least as long as the reporting's true, and it was Adam and it was Schefter who reported it. Schefter said in the draft warm up before the draft that Tennessee Titans are taking number one, and that many people offered them, a trade for the first pick, including the New York Giants, who offered them next year's first round pick. Obviously, a swap to number three, next year's number one, plus more picks. So you don't offer a first-round pick unless that's your guy. So they clearly felt Cam Ward was the best quarterback in this draft, not Jackson Dart. But after
100%. This was really risky because the Saints easily could have gotten him. Pittsburgh easily could have gotten Jackson Dart.
Absolutely.
And in hindsight, this is like the perfect scenario, like you laid out earlier. But like, I think that like you can't be saying what you're saying and still like you're really on both sides over here.
I'm not on both sides. I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but ultimately they lucked out. If Jackson Dart was picked ninth by the Saints, I'd be and then they don't draft Shador or take another quarterback at all until the fourth or fifth round, I'd be screaming about it. I would be sitting here going, I don't care how good Abdul Carter is. You didn't come away with a quarterback. This draft's a disaster. But they managed to do both. They managed to do both.
But that doesn't prove that Dable loves Dart. He's trying to save his own job. Because like you said, if he doesn't have a quarterback next year, then he's really a lame duck.
Yeah, well, listen, I understand, but it proves that he likes him the best in the draft. He had his choice of every quarterback there. He had his choice of every quarterback. It's not like Shador Sanders went, and then it was like, oh, geez, we better hurry up and take Jackson Dart. Like, he had his choice of every other quarterback in the draft, and they traded up. They didn't just sit there. If they didn't love him, they'd wait. Why? What?
Yeah, you're right. They traded up, but that only proves that he liked him over Sanders. It doesn't prove that he liked them enough to pick him at three. So he really doesn't
know. It proves he didn't like him enough to pick him at three, because they would have picked him at three if he liked him that much. I agree. But what are you arguing here?
Okay, fine,
what are you arguing here?
I just wanted to get that clear that we should just calm down and we should say that, you know, Dable doesn't love Dart. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. He doesn't love him to the point where he couldn't risk it. That's fair. He didn't love him to the point where you take him number three, but he liked him enough. And they played the game well enough, knowing Jackson Dart probably wasn't going to go, and then traded back in, got him in the first round to get the fifth-year option, which I think is important for a quarterback you don't intend to play for a year. And it proves that it wasn't just like, all right, well, the value is so good, we'll just take him with our second-round pick. He's still there. I mean, it just makes sense for us. They traded up to go get him. I mean, if you want to stand on it and say, hey, look, if they really loved him, they would have drafted him third. You're not wrong. But that doesn't mean that this wasn't the quarterback they wanted. We know for a fact they would have preferred Cam Ward. They would have preferred Cam Ward over this scenario, over both players. Over Jackson Dart and Abdul Carter, they would have preferred just to have the first pick and take Cam Ward. That's how much they would have done it with a first-round pick. So we know that Cam Ward was their first guy, as it was, I'm sure, with everyone, including Tennessee, obviously. But I do think you're seeing that he clearly felt that Jackson Dart was the next best quarterback, and he liked him enough to give up draft equity. It satisfies, you can think whatever you want, and you can try and say that I'm hypocritical here. It satisfies my desire and my need to know that the coach is behind the quarterback. It's enough for me. Because Shador Sanders was the route pick. They took a chance on Jackson Dart. This is clearly someone he likes. Everybody, like almost everyone, had Shador Sanders as the next quarterback. It's not like anybody took Jackson Dart. You know, everyone's like, oh, Shador Sanders fell. So did Jackson Dart. They took a chance on the guy they believed in. This was a name that just popped up in the last 2 weeks, not in the scheme of the entire draft, but specifically for Brian Daboll and the Giants. This picked up in the last week and a half. It satisfied my lust of getting Brian Daboll's guy. I moving up, trading 2 third-round picks, and taking him in the first round satisfies my desire for Brian Daboll to get his guy. I think that qualifies as being Brian Daboll's guy. You're right, they didn't love him enough to draft him third overall. They still thought he was the second-best quarterback in this draft. George in Winter Park, Florida. What's up, George?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for listening all the way from Winter Park, Florida, which is not often do you get an oxymoron as a town name, which I like.
Yeah, listen, I'm 90 years old, so I've been around a lot of these drafts. I always tell my grandkids, oh, the draft is on paper. I can tell you all the draft picks that were good, that turned out bad, vice versa.
Sure.
But I thought this would be interesting. You were talking about comparing Sadar to Dart. So Phil Simms was on this afternoon, and when he was going over the quarterback, and they were both close. He said they were both very close.
Shador and Jackson Dart?
Yeah, that was Phil Simms now.
Okay.
Now he said, and he went over all the things, you know, like you went over. But one thing he said that bothered him about Shador, he says Shador had a high percentage of completion, but he says a lot of them were screen passes, and that's what bothered him. And I heard somebody say the number of screen passes were about 20, and that's what Phil Simms was a little annoyed about, but he said they were both very close. So that's what I said.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't necessarily hear that today. Listen, there's a lot of knocks on all of them. I would be, like, I'm surprised some teams passed on them. I'd be totally honest with you. Now, Pittsburgh, particularly at 21, I know that there's a likelihood of Aaron Rodgers coming there. But even that feels like a one-year thing if they do it. Plus, he's so mercurial that I don't even know if I can count on Aaron Rodgers coming there. And the thing about Shador Sanders, and especially for a team like Pittsburgh, and me and Fleegs were just talking about this in the back, right? We've heard a comp of, like, I was watching the broadcast and they said, you know, he plays like Geno Smith, right? He's Geno Smith right now. And I say to myself, okay, he's Geno Smith. Let's say that's true. Let's say he's Geno Smith. Now, sure, do I want the first overall pick to be Geno Smith? And not Geno Smith, the failed quarterback for the Jets. Geno Smith, who's been successful the last handful of years in Seattle and then just signed a big deal to go to Vegas. Playing like that kind of Geno Smith. But let me ask you, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, like, doesn't it make sense to draft Geno Smith and get him on a rookie deal for the next 4 or 5 years? Isn't there value there for a team that thinks they can win right away? What if he's Geno Smith is his floor and maybe he gets better? How much money did Geno Smith just get? So I could draft Geno Smith and get him on the cheap for the next 4 or 5 years, or I can go find Geno Smith at the end of his career and pay him big-time money. Which Geno Smith would you rather have? And isn't Geno Smith good enough to win games with Pittsburgh? The Super Bowl? I don't know. No, probably not. But Geno Smith and the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to the playoffs. And the Pittsburgh Steelers can be a hell of a lot better with a Shador Sanders because I don't have to pay Shador like I'm paying Geno Smith. I can put some more money in building the roster up better. So if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just passed on a quarterback that has the floor of a Geno Smith who the Vegas Raiders just paid through the nose to go get. And I get for cheap over the next 5 years? That makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. Now, I get it at the top of the draft for terrible teams, but I'm surprised that the Pittsburgh Steelers passed on them. I'm surprised because I think there's value there. Now I don't have to go out and pay Aaron Rodgers, who I don't even know if he wants to play yet. And I got Geno Smith on the cheap. Like, Geno Smith, it's an insult maybe for the first overall pick. It's not an insult for a young, cheap Geno Smith pick when you pick 21. And you're a playoff team perennially. It's not that crazy.
and Smith.
Rob and Hoboken. What's up, Rob?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Seriously. You got it, buddy.
Listen, I might sound generic or whatever, but I'm going to say I'm so, so excited about the Giants draft. I think this is the win. For the first time in a long time, and I'm a long time Giants fan, generational Giants fan, I probably am going into the summer now without anxiety about the Giants. Now, they're not going to win 20 games, you know, whatever. They're not going to win 80 games this year, but I'm just
probably
so excited.
Not.
I know, because the number's not there, obviously.
Well, they only play 17. But so
I know, I misspoke, obviously. But
go ahead.
So you can see how excited I am, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just so excited as a Giants fan with this draft. I think it was the right decision. I'm excited as a fan, and I can't just wait for the season.
No, and Rob, and thank you for the call. There's no other way to put it. You're 100% right. I am more excited for the Giants season, and you mentioned like relaxed or stress-free or however you put it. Yeah, I mean, the idea that they have their future quarterback makes me feel a hell of a lot better. Or at least that they believe they have it. We'll find out. Right? Doesn't guarantee winning. And I'm not here, believe me. I am not here at 12:52 on this Friday morning after the draft telling you that the Giants have solved their quarterback problem. I have no idea. But we're going to find out. And finally, this head coach who was brought here because of his working with quarterbacks is going to get a chance to do it. And I'm pumped. And the best thing ever, for all of you guys who can't stand me, and I had to throw out a tweet, and I know it's dated, and I know it's the same narrative over and over again, but I had to throw it out there because I was having some fun. And I got to admit, I'm annoyed. I was annoyed watching the draft and hearing everybody talk about the consensus of Cam Ward, and he's the clear-cut number one quarterback, and knowing that it was that stupid win against the Colts. And then to find out that they tried to trade up and couldn't do it with a first-round pick and a third-round pick, that's the value they lost with that victory. So, yeah, I'm still hung up on it. Sorry, I am. And I'm not blaming anyone or saying the Giants should have played less guys or should have lost on purpose. I'm just pissed at the situation.
I can confirm that because you texted me that a few minutes before the tweet even went out.
We were
talking about the pick, but not in that context.
Yeah.
And you were so hung up on the Giants win that was what you said.
I was like, so we know the value. The value officially of that win was more than a first and a third round pick. But I don't want to get hung up on that because now is not the time because I'm excited about the Giants. I am. I still would rather have Cam Ward, but I'm excited about the Giants. And the best part, like I said, is I'm done. For all of you people who can't stand my tank. Yeah. For those of you who can't stand me screaming about we need to lose these games, I hope they don't win, there is no scenario now. It's over. This coming season, I will never, as much as it might still benefit them just to get a better pick, because naturally it does, but you will never hear me about tanking. Because most likely, if they get into a scenario where tanking makes sense, they're going to put in Jackson Dart, and I'm going to want to see him play well. So that's it. It's over. The McMonagle wanting the Giants to lose is over for at least probably 2 years. And then we'll find out Jackson Dart sucks, and we'll be back on the lose every game. But no, that's part of it too, man. I'm excited, and even if they're a bad team, at least they have an up and coming quarterback who I'm hoping is the future. Like, and I think they've done a lot in free agents. The defense should be a lot better. As long as Dexter Lawrence is healthy, and Thibodeau and Burns and hopefully obviously Carter's foot is okay. Like, if they're all healthy, they should have a really good pass rush. Like, it could be the best in the league, but let's just say it should be pretty damn good. They went out and got arguably the best corner and the best safety in free agency. Like, they should be a lot better defensively. And honestly, as long as Andrew Thomas is healthy, I think they should be better offensively. And they still have, you know, more picks to make. They still have a third-round pick. Obviously, they don't have a second-round pick anymore. They still have a third-round pick. Like, they still have picks to make. Like, I think they should be better. And I think that Brian Daboll can get fairly good quarterback play out of Russell Wilson, at least for 1 year, while they're developing the young kid. It's a, I am going into this season far more excited than I have in a long time for the New York Giants. And knowing that even if it's not the season we hope for, even if they don't get the amount of wins, we're going to see a young quarterback with a coach who I believe in, at least with young quarterbacks. And I won't have to worry about a dead season in November because it can't be dead. The season can't be dead because then they'll put in the young kid and it will be about building. When you're dead with Daniel Jones, there's no building. You're just dead. With Jackson Dart, there's building even after death. So this year should be fun. Looking forward to it. And I thought Brian Daboll had one hell of a night. I thought that was as good a, that's as good a first-round draft as you can have. Now, obviously, we're going to find out years from now. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. Abdul Carter isn't a slam dunk. He might not be as good as we all hoped. Who knows? We'll find out, but that draft, I'm as excited as you can be after a first round. I am. I am pumped. They did everything I wanted them to do. We have our cake, and we're eating it too. 888-808-1019. 1257, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break, update, come back, continue to take your calls. We'll get into the Knicks as well as they take a 2-1 lead in the best of 7 series against the Pistons, 118-116 last night. And a lot of things you saw were much improved and exactly the kind of adjustments you were looking for from the Knicks. And we also had a moment that might have changed the trajectory of this show. We were just talking about it. If they lost that game in the manner of the end of that game, we might not even be talking NFL draft. We'd be talking about how the Knicks got colossally screwed. And that would have been, oh my God, I can't even begin to think if they would have hung up some miracle three-pointer there with 0.5 seconds left.